Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Natasha H. from San Diego. Please welcome Natasha.
Hi, my name is Natasha, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. My sobriety date is December 16th of 2002. So, I mean, you guys just saw. So I just celebrated 15 years, and like I said, I'm really grateful to be able to, you know, be in this program and be alive today. And like I said, because not everyone gets that opportunity. And I was dying. You know, I got sober at the age of 23, and now I'm 38, so you don't have to do the math. And I was dying. You know, I moved out to San Diego. It wasn't like a classy move. I came out on a Greyhound bus with like a big bag of clothes. And I ended up in San Diego, and I was on my way up to L.A. I was going to become an actress, and about 3 days later, I ended up on the floor at 1111 Island, a detox center downtown San Diego, on a green mat. And so that was my debut, and it kind of continued like that. I suffer from alcoholism, and I didn't know at the time what that was, you know, but when I put alcohol in my body, I cannot stop. And if you put alcohol in your body and you cannot stop, you might be an alcoholic too. I don't know. But there's, I couldn't stop and nothing mattered. You know, not my family, nothing, not my health, not my life. You know, once I put alcohol in my body, it was on until I ended up in like a padded room, handcuffs or on some kind of mat. You know, I could not stop. And so, you know, that's great knowledge. You know, I come out here, I'm like, okay, you know, I mean, I knew I couldn't stop for a while, but I had no power to stay stopped, you know. And I didn't realize until, you know, recently in my sobriety that I knew I had that phenomenon of craving that, you know, I didn't think other people had. But really, I really realized that I'm bodily different than like a normal drinker. That never happens in a normal drinker. I really didn't know that. I kind of thought, you know, occasionally that might happen. But no, that never happens. Like, people might get really drunk and sick, but they're not going to, like, you know, kill someone to get alcohol. I didn't kill anyone to get alcohol, but I probably would have if, you know, if I needed it. So I'm basically trying to get the point, like, nothing mattered. My life, your life, nothing mattered. I needed to drink once I drank. And I couldn't stay stopped, you know, so I would dry out for a little while, but I have this mind that the time and place is going to come when I drink again, you know, and I remember I have no power. And I would come to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, coming here feels good. You know, I guess if you want to stop drinking, it does. And even if you don't, like, you know, there's something here that'll carry you through. But, you know, if I don't get a substantial, you know, a rearrangement of my internal condition, I'm going to drink again. And I need to maintain that today. Otherwise, I will drink again. That's what being an alcoholic means. Like, I'll drink again. If I don't do the spiritual work that's in this program, if I don't continue to work the steps and take other women through the steps, I will drink again. Or I'll live a life that's so miserable that I'll want to blow my brains out and or drink again, or both. So, you know, I choose to do the other, you know, come to meetings, I bring my body to the fellowship, you know, and I'm here so I can, you know, find people who want to stop drinking and I could take them through the steps because my life depends upon it. And I think the only way to, you know if you're done is actually to, you know, come to meetings and start working the steps. You know, I had a sponsee the other day saying, like, I hope I'm done, you know, and I don't even know what relapse it was, but it's like, you'll know when you're done when you're, like, working the steps and you're coming to meetings, basically. It's that simple. And what else? There's was so much. I'm like, but I just lost my words. Anyway, so I'm sure I'll find them. I'm really grateful to be here. So I have this spiritual malady, right? And that's driving this mental obsession. I can't stay stopped. So yeah, I was going to go on that story. Like, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, it was all right, and it takes me for a while, but if I'm just relying on, like, 90 and 90 or, like, stamping a meeting slip, like, that's not going to be sufficient to keep me sober for good and for all. So, you know, I came out of, like, straight out of when I was in a homeless shelter out here, that was also part of my story when I got here. I wasn't functioning very well, and I couldn't stop drinking, so I ended up in places like that. And I moved into an apartment with some nice gentlemen who I met at detox. And I remember... Yeah, that was my life, and I had no power to do it any differently, and it was tragic, and it was disgusting, it was horrible, and I was horrified. Every time I came to consciousness, I was horrified, and I couldn't stand myself, and the only thing that worked was a drink. So I was on the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I came to meetings. I heard people talk about steps. But one day I was there, and there was alcohol there. And I remember it was like a glass with ice cubes. I put ice cubes in it. And I was pouring some alcohol in there. And I knew I couldn't stop drinking once I started. I knew the consequences. And I was absolutely sober at that moment. But I had no power not to drink it. You know, my prayer was, just please let me come out on the other end. And it sucked, you know, to be in that place where you want to stop drinking, but you just can't, and you know what's going to happen. You know you're going to let down your little brother. You know you're going to let down your mom. You know you might die, but there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what I suffer from. I have that mental, you know, blank spot. I have no power. And, you know, the power from my sponsor isn't going to save me, because what did I do? I met my sponsor like 90 days ago. I couldn't stay sober for my life. I couldn't stay sober for my mom, my brother. So when I start to think of my sponsor, I'm going to be like, well, fuck it, you know, because that's not sufficient. You know, human power cannot keep me sober. If I go to treatment, that'll keep me sober for maybe 4 months. But I've gotten out of treatment, and I didn't do the steps, and I didn't enlarge my spiritual life. And that time and place came yet again. And I thought maybe smoking marijuana was not a relapse, because I'm mainly an alcoholic. And that's what they mean when they say those strange mental blank spots. Like, I'm kind of a smart person, you know, and that kind of logic, that doesn't make any sense, especially in light of what happens when I do drink. Like, I end up almost dead, you know, hospital, gutter, etc. And those are all the results of my drinking, but I have, you know, I have no defense against it. So I have to find out that defense has to come from a power greater than myself. And it has to be something substantial, you know, because up until this point, I've tried everything. I've tried, you know, using other people to stay sober, therapy. I had a note card in my back pocket one time, like, of the consequences that happen when I drink. And that didn't work. You know, I didn't want to pull it out. I would rather drink. So I drank. And, you know, so basically once I was, you know, desperate and dying yet again, you know, because I could be desperate and know that I'm desperate and still not do the work and end up, you know, drunk over and over and over again. But until I moved myself into sober living. You know, I did everything I had to do to stay sober. And those are like the external things. But the main thing I did was I worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't know that it was going to work. And I cried like almost every day. Like, and I begged God to please remove the obsession, because I still really wanted to drink, because that was my solution for my super uncomfortable, you know, state of being inside. I couldn't talk to you. I could never get up here and stand up here without a drink. You know, I was like, now I said a prayer. And it's like, for me to be able to like, not be dominated by fear, it comes from God. And I find God, it doesn't have to be like a God in the sky. It can be, or it could be like a God around you. Whatever your conception is, like, that's good enough to make a beginning. So I have to get in touch with that. Otherwise, I'm going to die. So, like, what are my options? Alcoholic death, or, you know, try this spiritual thing. And I have to rely on the testimony of people like myself and people like others who've come up here and said that they've done this and they're recovered. That's basically all I have. You know, so I get the choice. Do what I've been doing, dying, or do this. And so I choose this because it's a lot easier. I mean, it was really rough in the beginning. You know, it was really painful, but it was a lot of work, but it's worth it. You know, it's a lot more painful to be out there miserable and wake up every morning with that incomprehensible demoralization and just having no power and full of fear. So I'm really grateful to be here. I did get free, you know, working in the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, sitting down with a sponsor, having her take me through and explain what I was suffering from. You know, that I have this physical component, like that phenomenon of craving, that I have that mental obsession, that even without the alcohol in my body, I have a mind that takes me back to the alcohol. And I need to find out why I have a mind like that. Like, other people are bodily and mentally different from me. That doesn't matter. I need to know that I'm bodily and mentally different from them. That's all that matters. I need to know. My mom doesn't need to tell me. Like, the neighbor doesn't need to say, you're drunk, you know. I need to know. I need to know and concede to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic, and I need to know what that means, because my life depends upon it. If I don't know what that means, I'm not going to know what the solution is. So basically what drives that mental obsession that I need to drink is the spiritual malady, and it shows up as restless, irritable, discontent, really nervous, maybe not knowing where to put your hands, looking around, full of fear, just dominated by fear. Prey to misery and depression, can't make a living, even if you're working, like, it's just like a life not worth living. And, you know, if you suffer from that, even in sobriety or trying to get sober, you know, and you have the body and the mental component, you may be an alcoholic. You could decide for yourself. You know, that's when you go through the book with someone and you could decide for yourself. And then you know what the solution is you bring your body to the fellowship, which is this, I bring my mind to the steps, which is that, you know, for the mental obsession that treats the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady is overcome when I get access to God and I do the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and I carry that message to another alcoholic. That's how I treat the spiritual malady. So I have sponsees today because, yeah, it's fun and I like it and I like helping people, but mainly because my life depends upon it, you know, and if I don't do that, I will die. So that's why I'm so excited to, like, be here and to have a life that's, like, full and where I'm free and I can be whole. Like, if I take parts in all of those three areas, it's like the triangle on the token, you know, unity, service, recovery, service, you know, you get it. But check out the token. It's there. That's basically the program. That's what I work, and I get to be free and sober. And if I take part in those three areas of recovery, I get to be whole. So it's pretty awesome. I really enjoy, you know, being recovered, and it takes work. It's not for free. I don't get it by sitting in here. I don't get a spiritual experience by riding with someone who has one in the car. You know, I have to do the work, and I have to, you know, keep coming back. So thank you so much. Yeah.